cliffcentral.com.
Hello, this is Carly from Cliff Central, and on behalf of Wedding Central, and I'm here today in the gorgeous Puglia and at the Engage Conference. And today I've got a wonderful guest in studio, and I know all the South African suppliers, brides, anybody who loves weddings knows of Colin Cowie. So I'm sitting next to the fabulous Colin Cowie. It's a bit intimidating, I'm not going to lie. And the fact that I'm having to do this out of studio is also a little bit intimidating. But thank you, Colin. Thank you for agreeing to interview.
Happy to be here.
I'm going to sit quite close to you so then we can... Okay. Right. You are quite an icon, and everybody wants a little piece of you. And being South African, how long have you been in the industry?
So I've been in the industry it's actually kind of scary, 30 years.
30 years.
Yes. And I've written, I think, 8 books on the subject. I love weddings. I think I have one of the most amazing businesses in the world. I get paid well to spend other people's money making everybody happy.
And tell me, you're doing the interview. It's fabulous. tell me, did you do weddings in South Africa? When did you decide to move across to New York?
In 1985, I immigrated, but before that, there was a place called Helderfontein, mm-hmm. just outside of Johannesburg, at Four Ways.
You'll be surprised at how different it is now.
I have visited, and I've been back, and I started doing weddings there. Funny enough.
Lovely. Okay, and then how different has it been for you to do weddings in South Africa and then go across as a South African? Did people look at you differently? What were the challenges that you faced?
Well, this was the height of the apartheid era, and I didn't want to really stay in South Africa at the time because I didn't know what the future was going to be. Mm-hmm. And I left South Africa with $400, one very well cut suit, mm-hmm. a great suntan, and massive dreams. Okay. And I've been very, very successful, and I've been very, very lucky and very fortunate to get to have done what I've done and do what I do for the people that I get to work with across 5 continents. It's amazing.
Amazing, absolutely. Okay, and then tell me, if you had to start over again in this industry, what advice can you give somebody starting out?
Well, and the industry has changed so much. You know, I just think that, you know, it's the two things that are really important. You have to be extremely creative, and you have to be a really, really good producer. And part of being a good producer is also being a good business person. So, it's an exciting business because we're in the business of making dreams come true. And then also to stay ahead of all the trends. You know, there was a time when companies would say, well, we're going to restructure every 3 years or every 4 or 5 years. I find that today we're in a constant state of restructuring, because if you don't, you get left behind very quickly. And there's such incredible technology today. And then in America, it's a very specialized business. It's a very big business. We spend nearly $100 billion a year on weddings. That means... that's a very big number. That means there are 2.2 million weddings every year in the U.S., which means 55,000 brides walk down the aisle every single week. It's a very big pie.
Yeah. I mean, for me, this week, this last couple of days being here, it's been mind-blowing hearing the numbers. And I mean, you know, when you come home, you get a lot for the dollar, and it's for being a South African supplier. I'm not going to lie, it's very overwhelming sitting here. I mean, in one of the talks, I actually had a good cry, and I was it's just physically so overwhelming to try and fathom what is spent. And we always, as planners, we always have to try and justify why you would need a planner in South Africa.
It's a very specialized business, extremely specialized, and everyone has realized that the bride and the groom should be in their crosshairs, because it is such a big business, mm-hmm. particularly the way the hotels, you know, when someone's going away for a weekend, it's 2 people. But when you have a wedding at a hotel, it's 250 guests, it's 125 rooms, plus they'll spend millions and millions of dollars.
So, I mean, it's a big industry in the U.S. We always have to constantly justify why you would use a planner and why would the bride just not do it herself. Can you give a little bit of advice to a bride. Why would they use it?
Absolutely, because in the bride's...
We really do have to justify...
Because when the bride has got a toothache, she goes to the dentist. When there's something wrong with the dog, she goes to the vet. When there's a problem with the car, she goes to the mechanic. Okay? When you get a wedding, you go to a specialist. The bride went to university for 20,000 things other than to learn how to plan the single biggest event of her life. And it's so much more than walking down the aisle, playing music, and putting out pretty flowers. If you want to throw a really good wedding and a great party today, there's an absolute art in doing so. And it's a very complex situation. I mean, when I look at the checks and balances and the software and the process that we go through for our brides and what we do for our brides, it is amazing, the attention to detail, because everything is about appealing to all the senses, you know. And there's pre-ceremony, there's a ceremony, there's cocktails, there's the reception, there's the dance party, there's brunch the next day, there's a rehearsal dinner the night before. A lot of our work is destination work. And when you work on the scale that I work and for the caliber and quality of people that I work for, we can't start a conversation ever with, well, I'm sorry. Mm. We have to blow away the customer and exceed the expectation every time.
Mm. And tell me, you probably get this often, but you've worked all over the world. Where is your favorite place?
Well, I've traveled 13 million miles in search of fabulous on behalf of my clients, and I've worked across all five continents. I must say, I wish I could do more work in South Africa, because I love South Africa. I still think it's one of the most beautiful places in the entire world. In fact, I'm doing a big wedding in Cape Town in November next year, which I'm looking forward to doing, and it's going to be very exciting. But I also say, I think Italy, where we are right now, is so romantic, and I've been very fortunate to have done a lot of work from Venice to Florence to Rome to Capri to Sicily. So I've really been able to work all over Italy. I think France is also very beautiful. The south of France is amazing. The castles of Ireland are exquisite. Mm-hmm. And if you want to do something more exotic to go to, it's like the Polynesian islands, Bali. I mean, it's quite beautiful too.
I think, to ask this question. You are such a big icon in South Africa, and how do you ever plan to come back and speak to people in South Africa?
I've never been invited.
Come on.
Someone invited me to come.
You.
I get to do
something in November. I think it would be great for you to, because you are. I mean, you see here, there's so many people who want to chat to you and whatever, but it's just, you know, as Africans, we tend to doubt ourselves so much more because we look at the international markets and, you know, wow, this is what they're doing. But do you follow anyone in South Africa, and what is your take on South African wedding experts?
It's actually very interesting, because I do public speaking a lot. I do maybe one or two speaking engagements a month, or at least once a month. And that takes me to extraordinary places. Mm. 2 weeks ago, I was in Lima, Peru, and had the most amazing time. But what I've noticed is, because of the internet and because of the fact that we have Pinterest and we have Instagram and we have Facebook, the whole world of bridal design has started to become very homogenized and very global. Mm. So I'm seeing examples, and I'm seeing what people are using in Peru, and it's no different from what they're doing in Rio de Janeiro or what they're doing in New York City or London or Paris or any other great capital for that matter. You're seeing the same ghost chairs in Johannesburg right now, and mirrored tabletops. And so I think it's not as different as what it used to be before, where things were very regional and very seasonal.
Yeah.
I find now the whole world kind of looks, what sets everything apart are the cultural differences.
It's actually so, I mean, there's the lady from Ghana. Have you managed to speak?
Buongiorno.
There's a lady from Ghana, and she keeps saying, you know, like, why don't these people come to Africa and experience Africa? And, you know, it's just to try and get people to come and experience it and just actually experience our culture is another thing.
Well, that's one of the most exciting things in the world. That's how you learn the most, is to discover all the different cultural differences. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then you take our aesthetics, to those cultures, and you get to start to tell a unique and a different story in a different language.
And would you ever consider coming back?
To South Africa? I was there last Friday. I was in Durban. I go back to South Africa like 2 or 3 times a year, mm-hmm. and love it. My family's still there, mm-hmm. and I love the culture. I love the people, love the food, love the weather. Mm-hmm. So I don't think I would ever come back to live full time in South Africa, but to keep a home there and be there for maybe 2-3 months of the year and come back and spend time. I will always have a presence in New York and a presence in Europe. I love it here.
Okay, and then I'm not sure if you're aware, I own the SA School of Weddings. So we're teaching people going into the wedding industry. What would you hope that we are teaching people going in to the industry of, it's such a massive one. What would you hope that we are passing over?
Well, you've now been at a conference for 3 days and you've heard some of the most successful people in our industry speak. You know, this is no different from any other curriculum of sorts, because there is such an art in planning a wedding. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the business side to it, because you have to learn how to make money. You have to learn how to engage all your creative partners, or as you refer to them as your suppliers, and some people call them vendors, mm-hmm. and how they're managed, and how do you do design, and how do you keep the schedule together. And it's a very complex business. Mm. And you know, it's taken me 30 years to learn what I know today. So,
and what keeps you passionate?
What keeps me passionate is that every time it's the ability to be creative and to help a bride and groom make their joint statement of style. Mm. You know, they come to me with a couple of ideas, some with more ideas than others. And it's my responsibility to tell their story through the senses of what you smell, touch, taste, see, and hear. And of course, that changes whether we are morning, noon, or night. It's different if we're in the mountains or with the seaside or in the country. And of course, it's different if it's spring, summer, winter, or fall. So it's a lot of storytelling. But then you can only tell the story if you know how to produce exceptionally well. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some things that I make a pact with my brides that they will walk down the aisle no more than 15 minutes after the printed invitation time.
Because I think in South Africa, that's rather difficult.
Yeah, because not only is the focus of attention on the bride and the groom, mm-hmm. okay, and yes, it is their day, but the focus of attention really is on them being the quintessential host and host for the first time together. Mm-hmm. Right, it's their joint statement of style. So it would be very rude to keep your guest waiting. I start my ceremonies 15 minutes after the invitation time. We're all very jaded, okay? So I run cocktails for 45 minutes is my cocktail hour.
Okay.
Because by the time
45 minutes for your cocktail hour?
Yes, because by the time...
The photographers?
They've got to work quick and fast and furious. Because by the time
you move... Are you listening, photographers?
Because by the time you move people... from one area to the next area.
45 minutes between ceremony finish.
Let me finish.
Okay.
Because I start to move them after 45 minutes.
Okay.
Because people are like sheep. But mm-hmm. when you give them alcohol, they become retarded sheep. Okay? So by the time they get into dinner, it's been the hour.
Okay.
Right? And I think everything in the world today is 20 minutes to 2 hours. Everything is too long.
Mm.
I think movies are too long.
Yeah.
Theater is too long. We don't read like we used to read. We don't consume media and content like we used to. Everything is in bite-sized pieces today. Think about it.
Yeah,
how you read your news, how you get your weather,
you
how you get caught up. Very quick. So we have to also respond to people the same way.
Mm.
So for me, typically, wedding starts 15 minutes after the invitation time. Cocktail hour is an hour. I like to serve dinner in an hour and a half,
mm-hmm.
without speeches and toast, 3 courses,
okay.
90 minutes,
okay.
and then put in this killer dance party, and they'll dance till 1-2 o'clock in the morning.
Sure.
And I've been helping my niece with her wedding. She's mm-hmm. getting married in January in Durban.
Mm-hmm.
and they got the ceremony at 3:30 in the afternoon,
mm-hmm. which is it's very normal.
Yeah, but now you got people dressed up in black tie in the afternoon.
And they're hot. And I'm in Durban. It's all about the pictures.
Mm-hmm. And then the bride is selfish enough to want the photographers got this idea. Well, we're going to leave the guests there because we're just going to quickly go down to the beach and get a few pictures on the beach, and then the bride's got to come back and get touched up. Mm-hmm. It's very different in America and in the rest of the world compared to the timing in South Africa. I would say that would be the biggest cultural difference that I know.
It's actually quite mind-blowing to think about it. Brides want to have those 2 hours of photos.
But the bride should have those photos done before the ceremony. Okay.
Okay.
So any good photographer, and you've got some of the best photographers in the world right here, right now. Okay. They know they've got an hour to get it, and there's a photo to the photo team of 3 or 4 photographers, whatever they might need to do, and they get it done.
And with the photographers, do you ever struggle to get the photos out of the photographers?
No.
That's something we really struggle with, and they also.
It's written in my contract. If they want to work with my clients,
mm-hmm.
I have to have access, and I also have my own personal photographer who documents all of my work. Everything. Because the photographer who's shooting for the bride and groom mm-hmm. is shooting for the bride and groom. He's not interested in the napkin fold and the lighting change mm-hmm. and what the design looks like.
Which styles our work.
Which is our work, so it's our responsibility to make sure that we get our work well covered. When I was making a very little bit of money, I was documenting all my work.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to publishing books and being able to provide content and do things, I have a very deep and a very rich archive from which to draw.
Sure. Wow. It's amazing being able to pick your brain. And it's just, you know, like when you talk about the speeches and things, you know, we commonly with the traditional African weddings, you're looking at like 18 speeches, and it's just you.
But it's so rude and it's so inconsiderate to make people sit and listen to 14 people that shouldn't have had a microphone in the first place. That's why I have this general rule of thumb that all those speeches mm-hmm. happen on Friday night at the rehearsal dinner. And that's the way we do it in America.
Okay.
And that's when you go around and your third grade teacher gets up and makes a wish for you and your cousin and everybody else.
So it's like 2 events that you have.
We always have a rehearsal dinner. Yes, so it's for the bridal party and the out-of-town guest on Friday night. Okay. That's where all those impromptu speeches okay. take place. At the wedding, only at the wedding, is the groom, the father of the bride,
mm-hmm.
maybe the maid of honor, and maybe at the most 2, 3, possibly 4 speeches.
Wow.
And the average speech is 2 to 4 minutes, 2 to 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. If you're not a very good public speaker,
that's the worst when you get there. They have
and
the worst
yes, speech. And they start telling inappropriate stories and whatever.
No, we'll have the guest that will, or the family member that will just get up and take the microphone. So you kind of have to make sure that you've got a very good MC, or that you actually are like on the ball with him.
So a bride here would flip out if that happened, because the bride approves who's going to speak, and it's all written into a schedule.
Mm.
You heard me talk the other day. My schedule is 20 pages long. It goes minute by minute by minute, because there are so many people that have to work towards one goal.
Mm.
You know, the kitchen, the chef, the service, the band, the lighting, the sound, all these things have to come together to tell a cohesive story. Otherwise, what happens is when this thing runs away with the timing, you look at your watch, it's like 10 o'clock, the main course hasn't come down, that there's no sign of a cake. That's not a good experience.
No.
Not a good experience at all.
All you guys remember were the speeches and how hungry they were.
All the band was playing, the high energy music, and the main course is coming out.
Mm.
We create art and theatre when we produce these. The way the waiters come out, we have a service plan for every single course.
Mm.
Of which tables are served first, and how many plates go down at a time, and what is the clearing format for that as well. So a lot of people will focus on the food, or focus on the flowers, or focus on one particular aspect of it. We focus on everything to be able to create and to tell a flawless, seamless story that is controlled from beginning to end. And then people don't even look at their watch and they, oh my God, I just had the greatest time, because no one else kept waiting and the next thing happened and the next thing happened, and we led this the story versus people having to follow the story.
Mm-hmm. And I heard you in your talk saying that you never see an event go down, and I mean, it is the most heartbreaking as a designer to see that event go up and then a couple of hours later it goes down. And you know, I think a lot of brides don't realize, or couples, should I say, don't realize the hours and the effort that goes into it. And is there anything you could give to those brides who are considering between doing it themselves or actually getting a professional to do their wedding, and how long it takes to do that?
Well, if a bride wants to have run around stressed mm-hmm. with a checklist the day of her wedding, she's not going to have a fun wedding. Okay.
You know, South Africans are quite they like to be control freaks, so it's quite
yes, but I'm sorry, but if you come to me and you're going to pay me, mm-hmm. I become the control freak mm-hmm. on your behalf. So you and I work together and we agree on what this is going to be. Mm-hmm. You leave me to do my job so that you can be the bride on the day and you can focus on being beautiful, glamorous, and being an incredible host.
Lovely. Kailana was amazing. So next time, can we make sure that you come and speak to everybody when you come out next year?
November,
you say you're coming out in, well, you're all the time.
That's next year.
But we'll do next year sometime.
We'll figure something out.
You do have an incredible following. I'm sure you're aware of that. And I think a lot of people in the wedding industry in South Africa really are like inspired by you. And it's very...
I love teaching. Mm-hmm. I love sharing. And for me, it's always, you know, I feel very blessed mm-hmm. to do this, mm-hmm. how I started this conversation. Mm-hmm. And I have this creative energy, and clearly I've built an amazing business and reputation. Mm-hmm. And it gives me the ability, I think that the more I share, the more I get given to share. Mm-hmm. So I don't own any idea. Mm-hmm. I've never done the same thing twice. I don't use the same linen twice. I don't use anything twice. Every time I work, it's always new, because every bride and groom's DNA is different. Mm-hmm. And I always start with their DNA.
Well, thank you so much.
Pleasure.
I really appreciate it. Thank you. CliffCentral.com.